The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Are you sure you're ready? Because once you go down this path, there's no turning back.
You're gonna be my karate teacher?
No. I'm gonna be your sensei. I'm gonna teach you the style of karate that was taught to me. A method of fighting your pansy-ass generation desperately needs.
Good luck. It's all yours.
I'm not just gonna teach you how to conquer your fears. I'm gonna teach you how to awaken the snake within you. And once you do that, you'll be the one who's feared. You'll build strength. You'll learn discipline. And when the time is right, you'll strike back.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
I'm Richard.
I'm Rima.
This is House Podcastica Cobra Kai edition.
Cobra Kai. This week, we're covering Cobra Kai Season 1, Episodes 1 and 2 together.
The first ones. We got to figure out what Kai means. I don't know what it means.
Cobra Kai? I don't know. Maybe it's the kind of Cobra.
Maybe it's...
Maybe.
Like Cobra Guy?
Cobra Kai. Yeah, maybe it's just because it sounds cool. Cobra Kai. Yeah,
right.
That's probably the simpler answer, but I don't know.
All right, cool. We're starting off the series. You know, I actually really liked this when it came out, but I hadn't watched it since it came out, and it was a couple years ago. And so, you know, I'm like, yeah, let's do a podcast on it. And then going back and rewatching it, I'm like, oh, thank God, I still like it. Still good.
Yeah, that would suck on you. You're like, hey, this is one wasn't as good as I thought it was. Eh?
I like this. Yeah, I mean, I've had that happen before with other things. Anyway, so it's our top three highlights for Cobra Kai Season 1, Episodes 1 and 2, Ace Degenerate and Strike First. So, yeah, I thought it was really good. It reminded me of how when I first watched this, I'm like, holy shit. This is way better than I thought it was going to be, and I was just really charmed by the whole thing. What did you guys think rewatching these first two episodes? Good?
Yeah. Same here. It's like, yeah, man, this is really good. It's like way better. You know what it was, too? It's the writing I noticed this time around. It's like the conversations they have, the words they say to each other, it kind of imitates real life almost, like what people would really say.
Yeah. I kind of thought... One thing I really liked about Ash vs. Evil Dead is that it was unabashedly adult, and this show isn't as adult as Ash vs. Evil Dead, where some things happen that I can't even repeat, probably, but they're not afraid to use profanity and just to talk about some situations that aren't really politically correct, and it's funny, and it also, I mean, I'm a lefty, and I agree with being culturally sensitive and being more nuanced in our thinking about all this stuff, but it's also just kind of refreshing to have this guy who just says whatever the fuck is on his mind and doesn't give a shit.
Especially to kids.
Yeah, to kids. It's hilarious. He reminds me of Ash in some ways.
Yeah. A little out of touch.
Yeah, totally stuck out of time and everything. All right, let's get into our... Well, did you have anything else to say in general, Rima?
No, I agree with everything you guys just said wholeheartedly.
Let's get into our top three. Why don't you go first?
Cool. Well, everything that you guys were just saying actually leads into my number one, because I'll admit that first, I totally went into this show, and of course, this is not my first round watching it. I watched it when season one first came out, but not right away, because it took a little bit of convincing, because I really didn't think I was going to like it. I just kind of rolled my eyes like, ugh, another reboot. Like, how many shows are they reviving?
And you weren't even that big a fan of the original movie, too.
No,
so that's
no.
added on top of it.
Exactly. It wasn't like I was a huge Karate Kid fan going, yeah, you know, a sequel to the movie. Yeah, that's great. I was thinking, ugh, please, you know, like 30 years later, they're going to make this work, you know, right. after all this time. So I totally went, I know, isn't it terrible? So...
No, I thought the same thing, except the only difference was I was a huge fan,
so I'm like,
well, I'm going to watch it anyway, even though it's going to suck.
Yeah, so I was like, well, I'm not really invested because I wasn't a huge fan, but I kept hearing good things. And I couldn't tell you exactly when I jumped in it, but it was soon after it had come out. So kept hearing all of these really great things. Oh, you should really watch it. I think you'd be pleasantly surprised. I'm like, whatever. So I watched those first few episodes. They had like the first... like two for free. And I was so glad that I was convinced to watch because it was so good. I was actually shocked and a little freaked out about how much I really liked it. So it was so great. Johnny is freaking hilarious. He's still an asshole. But he's, you know, he's relatable, you know.
He is.
And that first episode, I mean, who hasn't had a day like he did? You know, in that day, or maybe had that person in high school that was like your rival and they're like just doing so amazing in life and it just eats the shit out of you. You know, you're like, oh, God, that guy or that
and they're
girl.
Being so super nice that you're like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Yes.
And being
yes.
constantly reminded of it, too. He's on TV.
Yeah.
He's
yes.
On
right when his remote breaks.
I know he's everywhere. Billboards, radio commercials. His freaking car gets towed there. He's on his commercials. Yeah. I mean,
and
who
I love
hasn't?
It because. You get the sense that that kick in the face was the start of a downward spiral in his life that's never quite let up since.
Yes.
And Daniel in his car commercials is like kicking or on a big giant billboard. And Johnny's like imagining getting kicked in the head several times.
And I feel like that's how it kind of leads off because it when the episode one starts, it goes all the way back, right, to 1984, to the tournament, which, you know, we just talked about. The other day when we recorded on Karate Kid, you know, it leaves off with, you know, there at the end when Daniel kicks him in the face and he's down on the ground. Johnny's on the ground. And then it pans into him present day, you know, laying in bed. And so that's perfect what you just said. You know, like that's kind of what was that the beginning of that downward spiral where we see him today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's like, that was just the beginning of arrested development for him in many different ways.
Yeah.
Rich?
You know, I'd like to go on record as saying, I don't believe Daniel overreacted. Talking about when he came home in episode two and he saw his daughter at the pool party at his house.
I'm with you.
And his wife was like, don't you think you overacted a little bit? I'm like, no,
no.
He didn't overact. Overreact? Sorry. I mean, as a father myself, I would have been pissed. So he comes home, right? And his daughter and all her friends are over and the dudes were wearing his bathing suits, for God's sakes. Mm. And all he did was tell everyone to leave and take his bathing suits off. He didn't like flip out or scream or throw anything or anything like that. I mean, what was he supposed to do? Ask politely?
Richard, I have this on tape and I'm going to get in the time machine and go back to your 16-year-old self and play this back just so you can.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, see, that's the thing too. I knew that if my parents caught us, I would have been dead meat.
Oh, your mom would have fucking flipped out.
Oh my God. Yeah. So yeah, that even though we did it still, I mean, it's kind of like you pat yourself on getting away with it, but you know.
Can I tell a story about your mom?
Yeah, go ahead.
So Richard and I were actually in a pretty bad accident. We were driving around in his pickup out in the country and made a turn, and this other much bigger truck was going way too fast and just bailed right into the back of us and tore Richard a hole in Richard's bed and everything of his truck.
Oh man.
And but it was still able to drive, so we kind of puttered home, and we were late by that time. And his mom was mad because he was supposed to pick up his brother, and we were late because we had to sit there and wait for the cops and just, you know, take stock and everything. So anyways, mm-hmm. we get home, and his mom comes out, and she's all red in the face, and she sees the truck is all messed up, and she just goes, "You go pick up your brother right now!"
Like veins coming out of her neck.
That's all
she's like, "You're never driving again until hell freezes over."
But I remember actually when we got hit and we're like, it happened so fast, you know, and then the dust kind of settles. And the first thing Richard said was, "My ass is grass."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is a totally 80s thing to say, by the way.
Yeah. So I guess I thought, I did think he overreacted, but thinking back to how our parents would have reacted, you're right. It was he was pretty tame compared to how our parents would have been.
Yeah, that's what I was comparing it to, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, because my point in all of this is that if you give a teenager an inch, they're going to take a mile. So you got to keep them reined in no matter what kind of threat it takes.
Yeah, I guess I'm, you know, my kids are still little, so I'm not at the teenager point yet. And so I'm probably thinking, my thinking will change by the time I get there. But I thought, oh man, you're really embarrassing her in front of all her friends here. But now that you're, I don't know, I think you're probably right.
I think it could have went way worse because like Richard, my mother would have flipped her lid it would have been bad. I mean, you want to talk about someone who overreacts to every single situation. I can promise you that it would have been way worse had it been me throwing some unannounced party and, you know, that kind of stuff going on. I would have been in hot water. I mean, I got away with a lot of stuff. I didn't get caught for a lot of things. But had I been caught, oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of keeps you in line, right? And just having that.
Or learn how to not get caught anyway.
It's like an incentive to think about it. It's like, I really want to do this, but I'd get in total trouble if I get caught. Should I? At least it makes you think about it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, I don't know if your mom listens to these, but your mom is awesome. I'm talking about Richard.
Oh, okay.
Just in case she's listening, Sharon, I love you. And
sorry for everything we did as teenagers. Please. How about that?
She really is awesome. She's
don't yell at me.
We all actually Richard's friends ended up becoming friends with his parents.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Tim and Megan visit my parents more than I do.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay, my number three is about role reversal, remixing, and recontextualizing different things from the original Karate Kid movies, which is one of my favorite things about what the series does. It kind of takes events and situations from Karate Kid and looks at them from different angles and takes roles from that movie and either reverses them or just gives them to new characters. And like that, you mentioned the starting off with this iconic All Valley Karate tournament from the end of The Karate Kid. I'm so familiar with every shot that when there was little differences, you really notice. And I think what that did was it, like, you see closer when Johnny's getting kicked in the face, and then you see him on the ground writhing afterwards. And so I read some of that is unused footage that they were able to go back and get and use. But the one where he's writhing on the floor, that was newly filmed. With a stand-in, I guess. But anyways, it's a signal that we're going to see, this series is going to show us Johnny's point of view. He's not just this kind of cookie-cutter villain anymore, and they just signify that right off the bat, you know, which I think is pretty cool.
Right.
And then they also did a little different thing where they displayed the points during the fighting each time.
Oh, yeah, on screen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which was cool. And I was like, why would they do that? And I think the reason why they did it is because Daniel got the first 2 points and it made it much more clear showing it like that. And so then it felt like Johnny was the underdog and he was about to come back and win, but then he just got smashed in the end, you know? So it just made it a little more like Johnny's story, I guess.
Yeah.
Some more role reversal and remixing. So Daniel in the movie was from the, like, kind of the wrong side of the tracks, quote unquote. You know, Allie's parents are like, "You're not dating that boy from Reseda," and Johnny was this rich kid with his fancy red leather jacket and his motorcycle and his cool car, and he's like the king of the school. And now Daniel has this successful car dealership, beautiful wife, kids, amazing house, and Johnny's down and out in his apartment eating, drinking beer and bologna for breakfast.
Right. Daniel in the second episode wakes up with a big old smile on his face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
like
Frank Sinatra.
Luckiest
playing.
Guy in the world.
Right. And Karate Kid is a lot about surrogate fathers and absent fathers and the importance of having good role models and good teachers. And that carries forward in this series. Johnny has this stepdad that didn't like him or connect with him, which is something new that we never knew. You were kind of alluding to that last week, Rima, and I had forgotten all about it. Then the scene from Karate Kid 2, the beginning where his teacher Kreese is choking him and calling him a loser. That was super harsh. And I think that's probably the only point I really sympathized with Johnny in the movies was this scene.
Yeah.
And then just as he's thinking about that, these teen girls crash into his precious car. So it's like totally kicking him when he's down. Then he has his own son, Robbie, which we don't learn much about yet, but it seems pretty clear he's not that involved in his life and his son has no respect for him. And I think that plays into the whole thing about him never having good role models. So maybe he didn't learn how to be a good, strong father. It was awesome seeing Daniel as a father and, you know, talking about how tough he had it as a kid because he doesn't want his daughter to end up spoiled and his son is this pudgy little iPad watching kid who doesn't want to listen to him, and he's kind of thrown off by that, and he's a bit rudderless again in his life without Miyagi. And I really liked that scene where he pulled up the picture and said he could use some of Miyagi's wisdom.
Yeah.
And I think Pat Morita died, as we mentioned last week, so he can't be in the show, but the show really incorporates that in a great way because at some point we all have to grow up and be adults and we don't have our parents to lean on anymore. And, my mom is still around, but she had this accident and now she's not quite all there. So I kind of have to parent her somewhat. And so I was mentioning last week how I totally identified with Karate Kid as a kid when I saw it. And now here I see Daniel grown up trying to be a parent. His kids don't always listen to him. He doesn't have his father figure to help him. And so I'm sort of identifying with him now too somewhat. And that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's another role reversal. His kids have grown up to be Encino brats.
Yes. Just like
it's like Johnny was.
Yeah, and Allie and her friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More her friends, but yeah, totally. And then Miguel, he's kind of like Daniel was. He's new, I think, at the school, being picked on. He seems like a good kid. He doesn't have a father himself. He came from Reseda even. But instead of wise Miyagi, this is where the script gets flipped, and he's got Johnny as his guru.
Yeah.
who's well-meaning, but maybe not so wise. You know, the whole importance of good role models. Daniel says to Miguel, you shouldn't believe a word this guy says, or you're going to end up exactly like him. And he's reacting to the Cobra Kai ethos, which Johnny does seem to be following, but we're getting sort of some insight that maybe Johnny isn't fully... I don't know. It's hard to tell right now, but anyway.
Yeah.
He's no Miyagi.
Right. What is it? Strike first?
Strike hard.
No.
No mercy.
No mercy. Yeah. and then a few more echoes from the movie. So Johnny is a handyman like Miyagi was. So he's taken on that. Johnny fighting the kids that are picking on Miguel outside of the convenience store is like when Miyagi fought Johnny and the other Cobra Kai when they were all in their skeleton costumes, beating up Daniel outside his apartment.
Yeah.
Except Johnny ends up maced and in jail this time. When training Miguel, Johnny repeats what Cobra Kai teacher Kreese said while Miguel's shaking up his asthma inhaler and using it because Johnny had just thrown him to the ground. He says, "We do not train to be merciful here. Mercy is for the weak. Here on the street in competition, a man confronts you. He is the enemy. An enemy deserves no mercy. What is the problem, Mr. Diaz?" And that's exactly what happened with Kreese, only he saw that Johnny was distracted because Mr. Miyagi and Daniel had come into the dojo.
Right. That's all I know, man.
The daughter, Sam, who seems like a good person, but she likes this bully, Kyler. So Kyler, I feel like, is kind of like the Johnny from the movies right now.
Mm-hmm. Kyler was a dork.
Then when the nerdy guys are all sitting at the cafeteria table, looking over at the mean girl table with the hot girls, Miguel stands up and that nerdy kid, Eli's, what are you doing? And he goes, striking first. And I'm like, yeah, that's so cool. I love that kind of thing. But then Kyler and his friends jump in. And so then Miguel backs off. And that kind of reminded me of the scene that we talked about last week where Daniel is with Allie and her friend and they were going to go somewhere together. But then he saw Johnny and his friends and he backed off. So there's just all these little echoes. I think I have a couple more. When Daniel asks Kyler how he got the bruise on his face, he says it's from wrestling and that he caught an elbow. And Daniel says, is that how you hurt your hand too? That's like when Daniel told Miyagi he got in a bike accident and Miyagi right. said, lucky, no hurt hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then last one, when Kyler said some guy at a mini mall, he just jumped me and my friends. That's like when Kreese said to Miyagi, I hear you jumped some of my students last night, which yeah. in both cases is not the whole story. Like they don't mention that, you know, the guy was defending a kid.
Right. That was a great way to end the second season too. I mean, the second episode was Kyle, you know, Kyle was invited to dinner and I'm glad he was invited to dinner for that reason, to bring light to what had happened between yeah. the three of them. And then Daniel went down there to confront Johnny and found out, oh, maybe it wasn't the whole truth, you know?
That's right. Yeah. But they're doing a good job of staying on that razor's edge. Well, I mean, they want to flesh out these characters and make them more human and more maybe realistic, but they still need to have drama and conflict. So you got to find that line there where they're going to find reasons for them to still be confrontational, but they're both still like fully fleshed out people.
Right. And you like it whenever Johnny and Daniel come together, they're always like poised face to face, like, oh, yeah. is this when they're gonna fight? Yes.
I mean, that scene, they're facing off and they're right on the dojo floor and they're centered yeah. in the background. It says strike first, strike hard, no mercy. That was just electric, I thought.
It was. It was almost like echoed when they were in the tournament, you know, yeah. back in the 80s and how they were facing off. It was real similar. And yeah, it was just, right. it was shot just perfect with them two face to face with that saying in the back.
Yeah. And I love how William Zabka, who's Johnny, plays it. Like he's not like wired or anything, you know, he's got a calmness about him. Even yeah. when he's being clueless or even somehow when he's being kind of aggressive, he's still got this like a charm, you know, it's yeah. not like he's flying off the handle. Even when he's saying, come on, I'm right here. There's this sort of a smoothness about the way he is, I think. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. He has a little softness to him.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Which we didn't really get to see much of in the movie at all. I mean, he was, you know, such a bully and so aggressive. And we didn't really see that until the very end of the movie when Kreese tells him to sweep the leg.
Right.
He just kind of gets that. You just, if you watch and you really watch Johnny's face, he just kind of has this fleeting moment like, what? You know, that's, I shouldn't yeah, be doing that. You know, and you kind of see where he's really finally questioning Kreese, you know, which I don't think he's really done before. He was always pretty loyal to his teachings and followed him. And that was, you know, you could kind of see that little break. So I think that's really nice when they showed that in the beginning of the episode one, you know, the tournament and him telling him that and then how he goes down after that kick to the face. And you kind of start to see that other side of Johnny. So,
cool. Yeah. And so he's still, like I said, stuck in a state of arrested development. You know, he's like, maybe he's kind of at war with himself. He's still, the first thing he does is put up that strike first, strike hard, no mercy. And that's exactly what he's teaching Miguel. So it's not like he's decided to renounce his teacher, you know. I guess at this point, it's not clear what he thinks of those teachings, but maybe he's just teaching that because that's how he was taught, and that's all he knows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I got the impression he was, for a long time, many years, he was like, well, the Cobra Kai lifestyle didn't work out. Maybe I shouldn't do it. And then, you know, kind of came to a head now. And then he's like, oh, fuck it. I'm going to do Cobra Kai all the way. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I think when Daniel at the car dealership was saying, you know, all that stuff back then, I don't blame you for it. I know it was your teacher. And I think from Johnny's point of view, Daniel took his girl and beat him illegally in a tournament. So he's like, fuck you. I don't regret anything I did back then. And if you're going to diss me and my school, I'm going to fucking start that school back up again, asshole. Kind of like that, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. That was a great line, too, that he said about that kick that we were talking about last time.
It was
an illegal kick. All he said was, yeah, I got the warning and you got the win. That was like perfect.
Exactly.
Because Daniel said, well, what about that elbow to the knee? And then he goes, I got the warning, you got the win.
Let's talk about summarizing.
Yeah, it's always impressive when people can say things in just a few words. I need to learn that.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, teach me. Jeez.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal. The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Okay, Rima, what's your number two?
Well, my number two is actually a lot of what you just talked about was the role reversal that we had in these first two episodes. The only things I can really add to that, talking a little bit about Johnny and how he's stuck in the 80s, I love that he's still, like, his playlist could be my playlist. It's just hilarious. I can definitely relate. I feel a lot of times I'm probably stuck in the same 80s era, 90s for sure.
Yeah. When he was ashamed at Miguel for not knowing who Guns N' Roses was, I totally thought of you.
Thanks. Yeah, that I remember watching that for the very first time, and I wanted to smack the kid, like, come on, you know, don't make me feel so damn old. And it's really a damn shame that there are kids out there that don't know. It makes me really sad. But yeah, and his car also reflects the same, like, time period as well. So I thought that was really funny that he's just kind of stuck.
Is that a Firebird Trans Am?
Yeah, Pontiac Firebird.
Yeah. Mm. Hells yeah.
Still a good looking
Pontiac.
Car.
Yeah.
Still a good looking car. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I wanted one back in the day. I wasn't even old enough to drive it when those came out, but I totally wanted one.
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted the original Trans Am from Smokey and the Bandit, too.
Me too.
Whenever I was 4 years old.
The big Firebird right on the hood.
Hell yeah. I was all about that car. Even at four, you know, wanted that car. And then the differences with Daniel now, how he, you know, was kind of that poor kid from the wrong side of the tracks. Now he's really successful, has a great life, and he's really benefited, I think, from his success with the Karate Championship. You know, that's really kind of carried him on throughout life. And it made me wonder, could that have been Johnny if he had won, you know, instead? Mm-hmm. How things would have been different in their lives had Johnny been the one that won the tournament.
Maybe. I think it also has to do with Daniel having Mr. Miyagi there to help guide him too.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe.
And then I also just something that you didn't quite mention that I thought was kind of a cool throwback, but some similarities. When Johnny opens the dojo and he has Miguel doing repairs and fixing up things in the dojo. It reminded me a lot like Daniel had to do for Mr. Miyagi. And Johnny also told Miguel, don't question my methods, because he's like, what does this have to do with karate? You know, just like Daniel's like, what the hell am I doing waxing these damn cars? You know, when does that have anything to do with karate? Yeah. And, you know, Miyagi tells him, he's like, you know, you can't question what I tell you to do. Of course, you know, this isn't quite as the same. You know, he's not really learning any special techniques.
And it has nothing to do with karate.
Has nothing to do with...
That's why it's funny.
Yeah, that's why it's funny.
Because he's like, he's wiping stuff down and he goes, after that, can you take care of these exposed wires? It's going to be a lot of work.
That looks complicated,
And he goes, just be thankful you're not a sumo wrestler. Those guys have to wipe their sensei's asses. And then my favorite is when he goes, hey, sensei, is there any particular way you want me to wash these windows?
Yes.
And he goes, no, I don't give a shit. Whatever's easiest. You know what? Go clean the toilet and we'll call it a night. And do that one on your hands and knees.
Yeah, I laughed because it's like, oh, you know, if it was Miyagi telling Daniel, he'd be like, no, you do wax on and make the hand motion, wax off and make the hand motion. It's just so good. So pretty short for me because you covered everything really well already. But that was a few things that I wanted to add. So just a lot of fun kind of seeing how it's kind of flipped a little bit.
Richard.
Yeah. I liked Johnny's how he talks to Miguel. I don't know how to say it. I guess he's just not very politically correct when he talks to Miguel. Like almost every time you talk to Miguel, I started cracking up. He says all the stuff most adults want to say to kids, but won't. Yes. In fact, I would even feel guilty of thinking about saying something like what he says to Miguel. Like, look, you want my advice? Stop being so annoying and maybe you'll stop getting your ass kicked.
Good sage advice.
Right, yeah. Explaining, when he's trying to explain Cobra Kai to Miguel, and he says, actually, this picks up right where you left off, Jay. He says, so you can leave your asthma and your peanut allergies and all that other made-up bullshit outside. Strike first is all about being aggressive. And if you're not aggressive, then you're being a pussy, and you don't want to be a pussy.
Yeah. Yeah, he goes, he's like, I got, he's like, what is that? And he goes, oh, I have asthma. And he throws it against the wall. Not anymore.
And then the last thing I had was, he was explaining, what Cobra Kai was. I think Miguel said, I don't understand what Cobra Kai is. He says, it's a method of fighting your pansy-ass generation desperately needs.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, when he's talking about Cobra Kai, at some points he's like, it's about being aggressive. And, you know, in The Karate Kid, every time you see Kreese talking about Cobra Kai, it just seems like, oh, man, this is fucked up. When Johnny talks about it, it still seems too aggressive, but it actually seems kind of cool sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he's saying stuff that half of America is going to agree with.
Yeah,
the other half of America is like, I don't know. I think that's a little bit too hard.
And I don't agree with it, but I think it's kind of cool. Like, and I think it's fun and it's funny. And another role reversal is that when, you know, Miyagi taught Daniel, he taught him blocking for all those moves that he taught him, painting the house and all that was blocking, and then balance. And while he's teaching balance, Daniel's really impatient. Like, when am I going to learn how to punch? And then when Johnny teaches Miguel, the first thing he teaches him is how to punch.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like really hard, like punch, like you're wanting to punch the guy behind this guy.
Not just punch him, like lean into it.
If you punch here, you'll break his nose, and here you'll break his teeth. You could seriously damage his trachea here. He's like getting a little too excited about it. Then he's like, oh, but only under extreme circumstances would you want to do that.
Yeah. There's other things too that you get a peek into his character about how out of touch he is. He's so desperately still living in the 80s. He doesn't know what's going on around him. Like when he gets the call from the school about his son, and the principal was like, he was caught with Molly. And Johnny's like, who's Molly? Some chick he's hooking up with? No, it's a drug.
I know. I mean, I actually think that it's a bit ridiculous almost. It's almost like they just pulled Johnny right out of the 80s with the time machine, only he's older. But it's so funny that I think it totally works, you know? And I guess you could write it off as, like I said, Arrested Development. He just sort of got stuck psychologically after that defeat and never developed. But it's the things he doesn't know. Like, I mean, there's a few things I'm thinking of later in the series, especially, but we said we weren't going to spoil, so I don't want to talk about it. But it's almost like too ignorant to be true. But it's so funny that I would not have wanted them to do it any other way.
It's a little bit sad, too.
Well, to be fair, I did not know that the word or name for Molly is what it was. I mean, I've heard of that drug, but I didn't know that in some groups or, you know, whatever, that it was called Molly. So,
I guess it's real then.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've got my kid is God, I don't want to say this out loud. My kid is an adult. And she's graduated college, and that's about as far as I'm willing to go as far as exposing my age. But I guess I've done enough of that talking about some things we've talked about. But, you know, I'm not completely, you know, I'm out in the world. And going through the teenage years and middle school years and her going through college and everything, I feel like, you know, I've kept up with things. So, but I mean, I haven't had a lot of exposure to drugs, and I didn't have to deal with that with my kids. So I feel like I'm a little, you know, kind of back from that a little bit, and didn't know a lot of people that did drugs. I wasn't around it when I grew up. It wasn't a big scene for me. We drank. We didn't do drugs, you know, when I was growing up. So I honestly just haven't really been exposed to it. Now, as I got older and learned what they were, I'm like, okay, I know what that is. But like all the different nicknames, I feel like there's so many, you know, different nicknames for drugs. I haven't kept up with all that. So I honestly did not know that until about a year ago that it was called Molly and some parts of the country. I don't know that they called that around here or not. So just to give Johnny a little bit, you know, I got his back just a little bit, but I feel like it sounds like he's just really kept to himself, because he was telling Miguel, he's like, you know, one of the good things about being around here is I don't have to talk to anybody, you know, and tries to just, you know, because it sounds like he just really kind of kept himself, hasn't done a whole lot of socializing, or, you know, he hasn't had a relationship with his kid to kind of keep up with those things.
I mean, it was 36 years ago, so it seems a little unbelievable to me, but I think they leaned into the joke and
absolutely you do have a point, but just on that one, I'm gonna give him that one.
Yeah, I think Rima hit it on the head. You just said that we drank in the 80s, and that's what Johnny's doing. He doesn't even know what drugs are. Or at least he's not into drugs. He's just drinking all the time, which is what you did in the 80s.
Yep.
So my number one is also about how funny things, which you guys mentioned a lot of them, but there are a couple more. And I think it was pretty clear that the show is funny pretty much all because of Johnny.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I like his teaching methods, which we've already talked a lot about it, but just at the beginning, he's like, are you ready to begin your training? And he goes, yeah. And he just throws him down on the ground. Lesson one, strike first.
What are you doing, man?
When Miguel's looking at his trophies, and he goes, so I see you're a karate champion, sensei. Yeah, I won a couple All Valley tournaments. I didn't lose a single point my junior year. All right, what happened your senior year? This isn't 20 questions. Get back to scrubbing. And then the whole non-politically correct thing was funny. Like, he's just drinking and driving, and he's playing his 80s hair metal, and he's thinking of his glory days on his bike and smiling at himself.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's totally Ash-like. Saying, like, no, after he has that fight with his client, he's installing your TV and he's talking to his boss. No, I didn't call her a bitch. I told her to quit bitching at me. There's a difference. You're firing me because of that bitch?
Right.
He's definitely not someone to look up to.
It cracked me up when he was in that lady's house hanging the TV too. And she's he's like, what'd you do in the powder room or something like that? He's like, you said I could use the powder room. She's like, I didn't know you would take a shit.
And then she goes, I told you to put it opposite the door. And he looks and there's a door, and it was opposite the door, wasn't it?
Right, it was, yeah. There was two doors.
Oh, okay. And then I just thought it was funny how he gets the short end of the stick a lot. Like, the homeless woman thinks he's also homeless.
Yeah.
Edging in her territory.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's when you know you've sunk.
I'm not homeless. That's my car. Or when the convenience store guy is grabbing his pizza like with his whole hand.
Yeah, and he had a bloody Band-Aid on one of his fingers. Yes. That was gross.
Gross.
I would not accept that.
Can't you wear a glove or something, dude?
Get a napkin at least.
It's like, wasn't there some movie where some guy had his thumb in the guy's soup? And they go, why is your thumb in my soup? And he's like, I was keeping it warm because I have a rash or something. I forget what it was. Anyway, yeah, I laughed all the way through. Okay, we're done with our top three, right? So it's time for notes. You got any notes, Rima?
I don't have any notes that we haven't already talked about, but it was just a really fun ride. So, and it's fun doing the rewatch. So,
totally.
That's it.
Rich?
I don't know. Do you guys, are you guys on the fence about whether Johnny's just an asshole or just a good guy that's been knocked down his whole life? Kind of got a bad attitude.
I mean, personally, I think that just about everyone has good intentions. And, you know, when they're doing things that aren't so great, they're usually operating from a place of pain. And if they just had some compassion, that maybe they would change. And I think that in a lot of 80s movies, you didn't see that. You just saw good and evil.
Yeah.
But now what the great thing that this show does is kind of show you what's underneath that. So then you start to sympathize, even though, yeah, I think he is an asshole, but you start to sympathize and see that maybe he has potential or, you know,
yeah,
he's wounded.
That's what I was going to say as well, is that, you know, in The Karate Kid, it was pretty black and white. And a lot of 80s movies were, you know, good versus evil, black and white. But here, I like how they're it's kind of gray. You know, it's the character's a little bit more complicated. Like, you know, in Karate Kid, it's pretty straightforward that Johnny, I think Kreese was more the villain than what Johnny was, really. But Johnny was definitely a bully and did not have good intentions and carried things too far, for sure. But at the end, you know, when he's given Daniel the trophy and he's like, you know, telling him good job and stuff, and kind of had a little bit, at least in that moment, a little bit of respect for him. Clearly that he didn't hang on to that moment, as, you know, through life. But, you know, it shows he's a little bit more complicated, and you kind of get more of his story as far as, you know, we don't know what his relationship was like with his real dad. We just know that, like, the Ed Asner there was his stepdad, and clearly they didn't have a good relationship. So he didn't have a good father figure there. Kreese was a total creep, yeah. You know, and was not a good person, and just probably not the best person to be in Johnny's life in that moment if he already didn't have any good father figures and someone that could still kind of keep him on track, despite Kreese's influence. So I feel like, you know, we're getting, you know, a little bit more development. I don't know that he's a clear cut bad guy. Cause I mean, I still am kind of on, you know, like Daniel still, you know, I mean, he's clearly, I mean, he's got a little, I guess maybe some PTSD from that whole, you know, being bullied and everything that happened prior to the tournament, maybe even the tournament itself, you know, how he kind of freaks out when he sees, you know, the Cobra Kai dojo is back open for business. You know, he clearly had a moment there, and he
said at some other point, I got pushed off a cliff. So he's got PTSD.
I know what it's like to be bullied. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then when he comes in, just clearly taking, that Kyler's word, and before he hears the whole story, comes charging into the dojo and just immediately starts accusing Johnny just because of who Johnny is. And again, you know, it's like, well, you're not hearing the whole story. Your story was different too, and it was told, you know, there were circumstances, you know, more than what you knew. So,
and you can see him being, it's how people really are when they have some bad experience with something, and then some form of it comes along again, they get triggered and they're not open to any kind of a nuance. Now, the thing is, when you look at Johnny, well, he is kind of being a bad teacher, so maybe Daniel has a point, but still, like,
But to make assumptions,
they're both flawed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I realized I skipped a whole point. We only did two of our points, so do you guys have more, right? Number one?
Kind of. That's where my question originated from, was my number one was just Johnny's character build. I'm just fascinated with it because, like you said, he's on the fence. It's like, I'm on the fence about him. On the one hand, you know, it's fascinating why people make bad decisions. It's like, on the one hand, he goes for a drive while he's drunk, which in my opinion is just a bad decision. But then, while his car's in the parking lot, this random cosmic shit happens to him too. Like a car full of teenagers hits his Pontiac while it was just parked there. And the guy, here's another one too. He can't even be a hero. Like you mentioned earlier, Jay, he goes to save Miguel in front of the liquor store with those kids. And he goes to fight and he pulls his groin on the first kick. And you can see the homeless lady in the background is eating his pizza while he's fighting his kids. And then he's pepper sprayed and arrested for trying to be a good Samaritan.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, this poor guy, it's like, yeah. And then he meets Daniel and you could just see him seething and all the shit that's happened to him. You got to give him credit for not snapping and flipping out too. Like we mentioned earlier, there is a little bit of a calmness or a softness in the background.
And two, just the fact that his instinct was to help this kid, and also that then, you know, like defending him from the bullies, but then also to want to take him on and teach him. I mean, I think part of that was for his own. He realized that, hey, I'm in a slump here, a 36-year slump. Yeah. And the way to get out of it is to get some of that Cobra Kai fire back. So it was helping himself, but also it was to help somebody else in need. So, you know, that's a good impulse.
That's
what I was thinking too, because it's like I know he's teaching Miguel and not well. He's still got some of the old Cobra Kai aggressiveness that, you know, is not the best advice. But when he's telling him, you know, strike first, and talking about, you know, when you see a girl at a party, are you just gonna, you know, wait around for another guy to, you know, ask her out? He's trying to, I think, help him with that confidence. And of course, trying to teach him some skills, because he's been bullied and been picked on. So he's trying to teach him to take care of himself. So I think he has good intentions. He just, he's so misguided and doesn't know how to do that, because he's never had it himself.
The part where I was thinking that when he was describing Cobra Kai and it sounded kind of cool, Miguel says, "You're going to be my karate teacher." And Johnny goes, "No, I'm going to be your sensei. I'm going to teach you the style of karate that was taught to me, a method of fighting your pansy-ass generation desperately needs. I'm not just going to teach you how to conquer your fears. I'm going to teach you how to awaken the snake within you. And once you do that, you'll be the most feared. You'll build strength. You'll learn discipline. And when the time is right, you'll strike back." I don't know. I mean, that's a little aggressive, but it's also kind of inspiring for this kid, you know?
Well, I think Johnny needs it too. I think, like you said, it was he needs it to get him out of the slump. He's you know, I think, tired of feeling so down about life and pissed that, you know, Daniel's always one-upping him all the time, and he's kind of needing it for himself, not just for Miguel. Yeah.
And watching that cheesy 1986 Top Gun wannabe movie, Iron Eagle.
I love that movie, by the way.
Right, that's all he watches is 80s flicks. Yeah.
And then Daniel and Johnny's relationship. I mean, I like that Daniel's first instinct was to welcome him. "Hey, man, come on over here. You know, that's all water under the bridge." It reminded me of my 10-year high school reunion. Like this kid, Merrill. Remember Merrill, Richard?
Merrill Heiserman, yeah.
Yeah, who was kind of a dick. Hey, Merrill, if you're listening, sorry, but in high school. But then at the reunion, he went around apologizing to people. "I'm sorry, I was like that." And it just kind of reminded me of that. But then you can feel some of their old rivalry coming back into the conversation, and they try to tamp it down. And then I even think, you know, when Daniel offers to pay for the repairs, that he's trying to do a nice thing. I mean, he says, "Hey, Johnny, if I charge you full price, it's going to be cost more than the car's worth." And so it's felt like he was trying to do a nice thing. But I also think it's a little bit of a power move there, and even bringing him the bonsai. And I mean, maybe not. I mean, he really played it like sincerely, but I just think that it could
Johnny
be a
just
little...
was not receptive to that.
Yeah, and it's a little condescending, maybe, you know, or at least that's how Johnny took it. And I think Daniel's competitive, so I think that there was a little bit of that in there from him.
Yeah, I think it would have been great, except that he gave him the bonsai. That seemed to be the trigger.
Yeah.
Well, and his two of the salesmen come up, and, "Oh, yeah, that's that guy. And, oh, he's the one, you know, you kicked his ass." And I mean, I'm like, come on. Like,
well, I kicked his face, to be honest.
You know, yeah, but that's just guys ribbing guys. I don't know.
I know. But It's
a situation vague enough
in
that
situation, he's already seething.
Yeah. I mean, I could see it being a little bit under the surface with Daniel, like, oh, look, I'm on top now and this guy's not. So I'm just going to remind him of that. Maybe. All right. Rima, do you have another point?
I would just want to kind of talk. I think it's or just mention, I guess, the difference between Karate Kid and Cobra Kai, the series, is we've got the older guys, you know, from way back who are now adults and still kind of acting like teenagers, kind mm-hmm. of stuck in their teenage ways just a little bit.
Yep.
Johnny definitely more so, and hanging on to the past, because I think Daniel's also still kind of hanging on to the past in his own way. And then you've got the young kids who are dealing with like high school issues. And I like how they're kind of introducing like bullying. Like, bullying is still bullying, but it's a little different now than kind of what it was. And you've got, like, you know, his daughter kind of hanging out with like the mean girls, more popular girls mm-hmm. of the school. I mean, that one girl, that Yasmin, who was driving that car and hit Johnny's car, is like the typical Regina George, I swear, from Mean Girls. I mean, even looks just like her.
Yeah. I mean, all three of them, she's the hot, cruel blonde. The other mm-hmm. one's the dumb one, just like in Mean Girls. And yeah. Sam is like Lindsay Lohan, who's kind of wide-eyed, but, you know, intrigued by the idea of being part of this group. So I really think they took a lot of inspiration from that movie for this.
Yeah, year. I thought so, too. But, you know, that whole, the bullying that you have today is a lot different than kind of what you had back when we were kids. So I like kind of seeing how they're, you know, I'm not usually one for, you know, young adult shows and stuff, like things on that you watch on the CW or something, you know, it's not typically my thing, but, you know, I think they're handling this okay, you know, as far as what we're seeing so far.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to, like we said, we're not going to spoil it, but I have to say, over the course of the series, the stuff with Johnny and Daniel, I like more than the stuff with the kids for the most part, but the stuff with the kids is all right.
It's tolerable because of the Karate Kid stuff of Johnny and Daniel's. It's tolerable for me, so I don't mind it. But I like how they're at least kind of talking about some of those issues anyway. Because I think that, you know, they're trying to. I think because they released this on YouTube initially, that YouTube Premium or YouTube Red, whatever the heck they were calling it. You know, there's probably a lot of folks that first saw it or was introduced to it maybe never saw Karate Kid. So I don't know if that's just got a lot of, you know, dealing with like today's issues and kids that age to kind of bring the show to them and not just these two old guys who have, you know, issues from the past.
Any other notes? Rich?
It was good to see Ed Asner as the stepdad.
I know. That lends
it a pretty convincing
certain, like,
jerk.
Like, he's big time. Lou Grant, Mary Tyler Moore.
I know. God, he's got to be 100 years old, man.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Still there.
Anything else?
I think that's it for me.
I just had a couple. Daniel said he told Kyler, Samantha's boyfriend, that he picked up that knife on his first trip to Okinawa, which is where he and Mr. Miyagi went in Karate Kid 2, so that sounds like he's been back there since then.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And then, I guess that's it. I mean, I just liked the ending scene where Daniel's there at the dojo and they're facing off, but then Daniel, you know, says, nah, and just waves his hand at him and goes out the door, but then he gets in the car and turns on the lights and you just see them staring at each other through the window. That's awesome. So that's it. Cool. Super fun. Let's take a little break. There's more to come. Stay with us.
What I'd say, don't you know?
Okay, so I have a couple of items for the news. You talked already, like the latest news for Cobra Kai. There hasn't been anything that's changed since then. I mean, we know that there's a season three out there, and that it's being shopped around to other platforms, possibly Hulu or Netflix. So nothing new there, and no other new news to report. But I went back and found a couple of interviews from when the show was premiering for season one. So I thought these were kind of fun to kind of get, you know, a fullness to how it came about. So this first one that I have is an article from Vulture, and it's an interview with Ralph Macchio and William Zabka. And their first question to them, they said, "I'm sure you've been approached about many Karate Kid projects for decades. Why did you say yes to this one?" And Ralph Macchio says, "Over the years, certain bad pitches were thrown in front of us. When you look at the Roseannes and the Will and Graces, when those reboots or sequels or whatever you want to call them are well executed and have a fresh angle that's relevant, it's a big warm comfort hug to the audience. We're hoping to have that same thing. The creators, John Hurwitz, Hayden Schlossberg, and Josh Held, had such a clear vision. It's fresh and relative, and they're the biggest Karate Kid fanboys I ever met. It's Star Wars to them. And they wanted to preserve the nostalgia and the legacy of what the film was. On top of that, we're at a time now where streaming services have the ability to tell a 5-hour movie and cut it up into 10 parts. All that came together, and it was just the right time for me because I did say no for 30 years. And William Zabka says, "I worked with Josh on Hot Tub Time Machine, and they emailed me one day and asked if we could have a meeting about a project. And we went to the restaurant, and they brought out Cobra Kai and wouldn't let me order, and we just had chips, and they ended up pitching the whole thing. They created this whole world that's not just this season, looking at it through Johnny's eyes. By the end of it, they said, 'Well, are you in or out?' And I said, 'Well, I like what I'm hearing. I'm in. What's next?' They said they needed to go get Ralph, and a couple of days later, Ralph said, 'We need to talk.'" Their next question says, "We spent a lot of time learning Johnny's story, past and present. How important was developing that part of the show?" Ralph Macchio says, "It was the first thing. We knew Johnny Lawrence, but we didn't know anything about Johnny Lawrence. It's a similar angle to Creed. Adonis Creed didn't follow Rocky Balboa, but he went in a side door and had a whole other part in the Rocky universe that you get to see. And then Rocky became a part of that story. In Cobra Kai, it pulls Johnny and Daniel LaRusso together." They ask another, "Audiences are used to seeing anti-heroes now, especially on TV. Is that why now seemed like a good time to tell the Johnny Lawrence story?" William Zabka says, "Yes, in the 70s and 80s, there was a good guy and a bad guy. It was very black and white. I think there's more shades of gray in entertainment in general, but especially in television today. My biggest concern was that I was going to double down on being mean. It was important that there were layers that you could understand Johnny."
Yeah, that's cool. But I guess Cobra Kai maybe owes something to Tony Soprano and Walter White.
I have another item from slashfilm.com, and this is with the showrunners John Hurwitz, Hayden Schlossberg, and Josh Held. That is a mouthful. Just something I thought was kind of fun that came out of that. These articles are a little bit longer, but I'm trying to, for time, keep them a little condensed. But they're, because this has been debated, at least between the three of us, since we started talking about it. One of their questions was, "Has there been an actual sports debate about the illegal crane kick?" Held says, "We addressed the idea of the illegal kick in our first episode, but we also take steps to point out that it's a matter of perspective. The illegal kick may be an illegal kick or may not be an illegal kick, depending on who you are. The rules were a little bit vague." And Schlossberg says, "I just think it wasn't completely thoroughly explained in the movies. How I interpret the rules is that kicks to the face are allowed. Punches to the face are not allowed. So that's why Daniel won. If it was illegal, they wouldn't have given him the trophy." And then Held says, "We do acknowledge that some characters view the kick as illegal and other characters view it as perfectly legal. We leave the 1984 rules a little bit vague."
Yeah. I forgot when we talked about this last week that when Allie was explaining the rules to Daniel, she says, "You can hit the kidney, you can hit the sternum, and you can hit the head." And so that was sort of an indication, oh, I guess the head is not totally off limits. But then on the other hand, when this kid Bobby first kicked Daniel's leg super hard, you know, he jumped up in the air, that they said he was out for excessiveness and intentional something or other. So that suggests that a really hard hit like that is not allowed. So, yeah, it's a little like you could argue both ways.
Yeah. When we were all discussing it, it's about hitting in a controlled manner. I mean, you do have to make contact, but you're just trying to strike and make a point. You're not trying to like take someone out and knock them out like you do in the boxing ring. I mean, I think there are tournaments like that where you can be full force, and probably other disciplines as well.
Yeah. But, and based on that one guy that was flipping around, he looked like he was going full force. So this might have been one of those tournaments that was full force, although it seems unlikely that you would have a tournament like that with kids this young.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like you could argue.
I feel like probably, and I don't know, because I have not been in any competitive tournaments. I mean, I'm in a class. I don't compete with others, thank God. But I've been to some, and you know, they are, I mean, you strike, but they're, you know, you're not trying to take that person out. It's just about making that
Nico
point.
Does it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I don't know if this was one of those or not.
Yeah. I don't know. I would think mostly the adults. I don't think they would let anyone under 18 anyway be in a competition like that. But I don't know. One of the last questions I'll just mention, they ask, you mentioned Johnny handing Daniel the trophy. What's your take on what happens after he says, "You're all right, LaRusso"? When does that start to change back in his mind? Held says, Johnny Lawrence is a very complex character that's intentionally underserved by the movie, because it's not Johnny's movie. It's Daniel's movie. But the movie does do a pretty good job of showing you that it's John Kreese who's really the big bad. Johnny Lawrence is a student who's been a little misled in the ways of what's proper karate and proper conduct. We don't view it as everything changed in that instant for good and forever, but that kick, that loss was a catalyst. We obviously know what happened directly after he handled Daniel that trophy. He went to the parking lot and John Kreese tried to choke him to death. So in that one moment, Johnny lost the championship. He already lost a girlfriend. He lost his father figure. He lost a sport he loved that kind of defined him. And he's got 6 months left of high school. It's just not a good moment. And it's kind of the beginning of the downward spiral. Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Poor Johnny.
I mean, you can say what you want. Like I said, I feel like he's still not the good guy and he's still, you know, kind of an asshole. But it makes him a little bit more of a complex character than.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Take anyone you know who's an asshole and they probably have a story like that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Just big old fat loser.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, let's get into some listener feedback. Rich, you want to go first?
Gemma Hall writes, I adore the Karate Kid movies. Jason and I love Cobra Kai, so I'm chuffed you're doing this. I remember having such a huge crush on Daniel's son, as I used to call him, but I realized the movie was released in 1984. I was born in 83, so I can't have really watched it until the early 90s. My favorite bits are the training montages and the music. Daniel on a mountain doing karate. I will call in about Cobra Kai, but I gave me such a good burst of nostalgia and just excitement to see the characters again on both sides of the story. My husband was planning the fence. My husband was painting the fence last week, and he said, "Hey, Jim, look, wax on, wax off." And I was like, "No, paint the fence." Don't quote my favorite film to me and do it wrong. Ha ha.
Dublino Bob Grippy says, I'll tell you right now, I am more willing to rewatch season one than season two.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I responded to him. I'm like, yeah, I remember not liking season two as much and feeling like it was a little more scattered and kind of repetitive. But there are definitely some moments that I remember really liking a lot. But I also think, based on my experience podcasting, that we're probably going to like it more when we podcast about it and find things more to appreciate about it. Yeah. It'll be fun to see if that's true anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still thought it was good, but just not as good. But we'll see. Amelie Rochette says, I really liked it. As a big fan of the movie, I feel right at home. The 80s vibe is certainly there. I like how the story is repeating itself, except the roles are kind of reversed. For instance, the scene when Johnny defends Miguel evokes how Miyagi rescued Daniel, and the scenes when Johnny gets Miguel to do all the cleaning is also very funny and light at times. Poor Johnny keeps seeing Daniel LaRusso everywhere, the billboard, the ads on TV, his car is being towed to his automobile dealership. While Daniel's not exactly a jerk, he was kind of a dick to Johnny at the dealership. It was pretty humiliating for Johnny, poor guy. It also seems like he diverted a little from Mr. Miyagi's teachings. Well, he definitely didn't pass them on to his son. Hey, what are you going to do with that iPad there? I'm just kidding. I tend to be on the underdog side, so I'm going to have to root for Johnny and his cock rock car and his cock rock 80s songs. Don't need nothing but a good time, lol.
That's good.
Funny. Yeah, I mean, I'm such a huge Daniel fan, and I think Ralph Macchio is great in this series, but I do feel like Johnny's the star, and he's so fun to watch and so funny. I mean, I can't say that I would root for Johnny to win in a fight necessarily. I like seeing kind of both of them elevated to the same level, or maybe Johnny even a little higher in this as far as, you know, who's more prominent, but I still love Daniel LaRusso.
Yeah. And William Zabka, I mean, who knew he was such a great actor?
I don't know
that we got to see enough of him. I know he was in a lot of 80s movies. It wasn't just Karate Kid. I think that's probably what he's most well known for. But I remember seeing him in some other 80s movies in the day. But he does a really good job. He's got a pretty good range. Good. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even Ralph Macchio improved, I think, since then. I'll give him credit too.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I always thought he was amazing in those movies.
Okay. We also got a call from Steve Brown. Where the fuck is it? Oh, here we go. Steve Brown.
Hey, Richard, Rima, and Jason. This is Steve. This is for the first two episodes of Cobra Kai. I'm a little confused. I'm not sure who to root for here. And, I mean, my very first reaction as I watched the first episode was, I don't know. It didn't hook me really well. First off, the dissing of Riverside. I grew up in Riverside. So it may be, I don't know what it is now, but when I grew up, anyway. And, you know, we have Johnny drinking and driving, and there's like literally no, at least yet, ramifications for that. He's drinking a beer before he's starting to train the kid. It looks to me like Daniel is trying to be a good father. And so, you know, I'm going to stick with it for a couple of weeks with you guys, but I'm not hooked yet with this show. And I'm seeing a Johnny that is, how did he even afford to get that place? But that, even set that aside, he's just, I don't know. I don't know who to root for here. I know you guys have said that I can't be sympathetic toward Johnny. Not yet, anyway. And like I said, Daniel looks like he's trying to be a good dad. Maybe he's a little bit not dealing with Johnny as an adult. Maybe he doesn't want to see that Johnny has grown up and changed, but I don't know. So hopefully the next couple episodes, will make me more enthused, but, anyway, can't wait to hear what you guys thought. Talk to you later.
I think maybe this isn't the show for Steve.
I think if you're not hooked by those first two episodes, probably not.
Maybe not.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe after he heard the podcast, I wonder if you felt differently about it.
Yeah.
I definitely think you're not really supposed to know who to root for at this point.
Mm-hmm. Right? I think that's the point. Yeah.
Yeah. But it sounds like, yeah, you just didn't really jive with it. So I don't know. We'll see. Maybe you'll come around. But if you don't keep going with us, that'll be weird not to get your calls every week.
I know.
But I don't blame you. You know, not every show's for every person.
Right. It's not so cut and dry, these episodes, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, I think that is kind of the point.
It's much easier.
Human, and they're both flawed.
In the movies, to pick Team Daniel or Team Johnny.
Right. Who's like an iconic villain besides Darth Vader? Anybody else?
Iconic villain?
Yeah. For movies or TV.
Oh,
Joker.
Gosh, yeah, the Joker.
No, we had a Joker
movie. The Russian
movie.
In Rocky IV.
Yeah. It'd be like if we saw Rocky and...
Mr. T in Rocky
III. Mr. T, yeah.
Yeah, if we saw Rocky and Mr. T had a series where they're in an old folks' home and Mr. T's like helping people with their pills or something. All right, that's our show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you enjoyed. I really hope that we're introducing some people to this. I've kind of been shoving it down people's throats lately. I actually realized, oh, I can actually just post the episode right to our social media because it's on YouTube. So
all right.
I put that up. So we'll see if it catches on. Let us know what you guys think.
Yeah.
And if you want to write in or record a message, send it in. Let us know what you think. You can email us at waxonwaxoff@podcastica.com.
We also put up a post for each week's episode on our Facebook page at facebook.com/housepodcastica.
And be sure to check out the other great podcasts at podcastica.com.
Next episode of this podcast, Cobra Kai Season 1, Episodes 3 and 4, Esqueleto, and Cobra Kai Never Dies.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's our show.
Thanks for listening.
You know, you should stop being so annoying and maybe you'll stop getting your ass kicked.
Okay, I'll try.
Hey, Sensei. Is there any particular way you want me to wash these windows?
Nah, I don't give a shit. Whatever's easiest. You know what? Just go clean the toilet and we'll call it a night.
Okay.
And do that one on your hands and knees.
Save big money on all your projects at Menards. Water seeping into your cracks in your concrete can cause costly damage over time. Keep water out and extend the life of your concrete with a tube of ready-to-use concrete repair. It's commercial grade, durable, flexible, and works great for gaps and cracks up to 3/8 inch. Check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.